שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר פסח.
Hello, we are reading in the Passover materials in the article by Rabash, The Connection Between Passover, Matzah and Maror. From the paragraph, now we will explain the meaning of the Matzah.
נשתדל.
Let's try, and according to Passover and all together, to feel ourselves together, and that we're only speaking about the stages of connection. Please.
ספר פסח, עמוד 148, טור ב', פסקה שנייה. ואתה נבאר...
Now we will explain the meaning of the matzah, the Passover unleavened bread. In the work, we should interpret the word matzah from the word meriva, strife. For the matzah and meriva, strife, and for the quarrel of the children of Israel, and for their trying the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? The translation into Aramaic says about meriva, the matzah, strife, is because the children of Israel strove. It follows that the matzah come from the word strife, meaning that the people of Israel had a quarrel with the Creator over why He made it so difficult to work in order to bestow, and why, even though they tried to come out of Egypt, of Egypt's governance, not only are they not advancing, they see that they are even regressing. In other words, they were tasting bitterness in the work which caused them to quarrel with the Creator, and a strife is called matzah. We see that over such a complaint, the people of Israel quarreled with Moses, meaning when they saw that when they began to work for the sake of the Creator, they had become worse. As it is written, and they said to them, May the Lord look upon you and judge, for you have made our scent odious in Pharaoh's eyes. These complaints that they said to Moses, Moses said to the Creator, as it is written, and Moses returned to their Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not saved your people at all. We should interpret their complaints to Moses when they said, We will see and judge. It means that they quarreled with Moses, since Moses told them to believe in the Creator, so they went out of the body's control. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, controls the body, and he afflicts the kedusha, the sanctity or holiness. They began to work in mind and heart, and so that the body, which is Pharaoh, began to govern them. That is, everything they wanted to do in the work, the body resists vigorously. Before they began to walk in Moses' way, they had strength in the work, but now everything they do, the body loathes. This is the meaning of what is written about Moses, for you have made our scent odious in Pharaoh's eyes. In other words, our body loathes our spirit in the work of the Creator, once we begin the path of bestowal. Afterward, Moses went to the Creator with the complaints of Israel, who quarreled with Moses over bringing them the message from the Creator. It is written about it, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, Why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you send me? Meaning, what are the complaints? He said, Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not saved your people at all. Ever since I came to the children of Israel, means to their bodies, which are called Pharaoh. To speak in your name means that everyone will begin to work for the sake of the Creator. This is the meaning of in your name. It stands to reason that since everyone wants only the truth, for is there anyone who is a fool and wants to walk on the path of falsehood? Rather, indeed, everyone wants the truth. As always, when knowing that someone is lying, no one wants to listen to him. But here they said, why is it that when Moses came and told them to walk on the path of truth, the body, which is called Pharaoh, makes our scent odious when we begin this work? For this reason, they had grievances against the Creator over becoming worse than before Moses came to them as the Creator's messenger. He wanted to deliver them from exile. So why are they saying now that they are going deeper into exile, that Pharaoh controls the body forcefully and with more intellect, making them understand each time with a different argument? It follows that Israel's situation prior to Moses' coming to them as a messenger of the Creator was better in the work. Now, however, they see that their bodies, which are regarded as Pharaoh, have complete control over the children of Israel. That is, where there should have been high spirits from knowing that they are walking on the path of truth, the opposite occurred. In the eyes of the body, which is called Pharaoh, what spirit did they have? It is written about it, for you have made our scent odious in Pharaoh's eyes. The body was telling them, what spirit is there in the work of bestowal? Making the scent odious means a bad smell that is impossible to tolerate. This means that they could not stand this mindset and wanted to escape the way one runs from stench. That is, instead of the work on the path of truth bringing high spirits, so that a person will want to stay forever in that mindset, the opposite occurred here. From the work of bestowal, they received a mindset of stench, meaning that they wanted to escape that mindset and could not stand it for even a minute. It is as was said to Moses, for you have made our scent odious. Moses brought Israel's grievances to the Creator and asked him, why have you sent me? The Creator replied to Moses, as it is written, and the Lord said to Moses, now you will see that which I will do to Pharaoh, for with a mighty hand he will send them. The answer to why he has made the work of bestowal so hard was that he wanted the mighty hand to be revealed, as it is written, for with a mighty hand he will send them, and with a mighty hand he will drive them out of his land. In which way is a mighty hand necessary? It is precisely when the other party resists with all its might. Then it can be said that we must use a mighty hand. But if the other party is weak, it cannot be said that it requires a mighty hand to deal with it. It is as the allegory that Bala Sulam said, that normally when two people are disputed, sometimes they move into a fist fight. The one who sees that he cannot overcome the other takes a knife against him. When the other one sees that he has a knife, he takes a pistol. And when that one sees he has a pistol, he takes a rifle, and so forth, until the other one takes a machine gun. And if he has a machine gun, the other one takes a tank. However, we have never heard that if someone takes a stick and wants to hit with it, the other one takes a tank to fight the one who took the stick. It is likewise in the work. It cannot be said that we must go against Pharaoh with a mighty hand if Pharaoh does not resist very strongly. And since the Creator wanted to show him a mighty hand here, the Creator had to harden Pharaoh's heart. As it is written, "For I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may set these tokens of mine within him." However, we should understand why it is written that the Creator hardened Pharaoh's heart, because the Creator wanted to set those tokens so that the name of the Creator would become known. Is the Creator, God forbid, deficient? Does he need others to know that he can set tokens and signs? Also, what does it imply to us in the work that we should know this for generations? According to what Bala Sulam said about the question that Abraham asked after the Creator promised him, and he said to him, "To give you the land to inherit it," he asked, "How will I know that I will inherit it?" And he said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and afflicted 400 years. And afterward, they will come out with many possessions." He asked, "What is the answer to Abram's question? How will I know that I will inherit it?" Meaning, what is the meaning of what the Creator replied to him? Answer: "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers, and they will be afflicted, and afterward they will come out with many possessions." He asked, "The text implies that the answer was satisfactory, since Abraham did not ask further." We see that Abraham's way was to argue with the Creator, as in the case of the people of Sodom, when the Creator said to Abraham, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great." But here, when he told him no for certain, he was pleased with the reply. He said that since Abraham saw the magnitude of the inheritance that he had promised his sons, Abraham thought, according to the rule, that there is no light without a kli, a vessel, meaning there is no lack without a filling. He did not see that the children of Israel would need such high degrees and attainments in the upper worlds, which is why he asked the Creator, "How will I know that I will inherit it?" Since they haven't the kelim, vessels, or the need for the great inheritance that you are showing me that you will give my sons. They haven't the need. To this, the Creator replied to him, "I will give them a need for the lights, just as I will give them the lights." In other words, the Creator will give them both the lights and the kelim. Do not think that I bestow only the abundance. Rather, I bestow upon them both the need, which is called the kli, and the abundance, which is called lack and filling. By the people of Israel being in exile in Egypt 400 years, which is a complete degree of four b'chinot, discernments, by being in exile in a land that is not theirs, meaning that the Egyptians will impart Israel with a desire for self-reception, a desire that does not belong to kedushah, to holiness, which is called eretz, land, from the word ratzon, desire. And they're wanting to escape that desire when I make them unable to come out of that governance by themselves and see that only the Creator can help them, and they will have no other choice but to ask me for help. It is, as our sages said, "He who comes to purify is aided." And the Zohar says that the help is that they are given a holy soul. By the many prayers, when they seek the Creator's assistance, they will receive a higher degree each time. And by this, they will have a need to ask of the Creator. This will cause them to ask of the Creator and receive a higher degree, after which I will be able to give them the inheritance. Thus, the Creator deliberately made them unable to overcome, so they would have kelim, the vessels, It follows that the hardening of the heart was done to Pharaoh in order to make room for a need for the upper lights. If they did not have hard work, they would have no need for the great lights. One who is going to fight against someone with a hand or with a stick, the other has no need to use a tank or a cannon against him. For this reason, in order for the lower ones to have a need to receive great lights, they must be faced with strong klipot, shells or peels, which a person must draw great light in order to break. Otherwise, he would be content with little. It follows that Pharaoh's hardening of the heart causes them to draw great lights. By this we will understand what we asked. Did he set the tokens in order for the nations to know that the Creator can do miracles and wonders? That is, did he make the hardening of the heart in order to be respected? Does the Creator have grievances against his creations, meaning does something against the will of the creatures? After all, the whole purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. And here it turns out the opposite, that he made the hardening of the heart to the creatures so that everyone would see his greatness, that he is almighty. Now we can understand this simply. Pharaoh in Egypt referred to the governance of the will to receive that is in the creatures. In order for the creatures to need to receive the high degrees that the Creator has prepared for them, and our sages said that by their being unable to overcome their will to receive, they will awaken to Dvikut with the Creator, which came to them by merit of the patriarchs, to whom the Creator promised that their children would be rewarded with the delight and pleasure that He has prepared for the creatures. For this reason, He made the hardening of the heart, so that they would need to ask the Creator to help them. His help comes, as the Zohar says, by bestowing upon them a holy soul. It follows that all the overcoming is that they draw a little bit of illumination from above. By this, they will eventually have kelim, meaning a need for the inheritance that the Creator promised to the forefathers. It therefore follows that the verse, that I may set these tokens of mine, is not for the sake of the Creator, but for the sake of the creatures. It means that through the hardening of the heart that he does to Pharaoh, where the body becomes more assertive each time and does not let a person work in order to bestow. But since man yearns for dvikut with the Creator, he must try to make greater efforts each time or he will not be able to defeat it. And in order to receive greater powers, the only counsel is to pray to the Creator, for only He can give them, only He can give the required forces. The forces of the Creator are as said above. The spiritual force that the Creator gives him each time is called the soul, the light of Torah. This means that each time he receives the letters of the Torah according to the overcoming that he needs to perform. This is called that I may set these tokens of mine, meaning in order for the letters of the Torah to reveal to Israel, he must create in them a need. This is the meaning of the Creator given the hardening of the heart for the sake of the creatures. Accordingly, we can understand what was said above, that we need the upper abundance for the making of the kelim, meaning to have kelim fit to receive the upper light. This assistance is regarded as the light coming to make kelim of kedusha, holiness, which will want to work in order to bestow, as in he who comes to purify is aided. Once he has obtained the kelim that want to bestow upon the Creator, the abundance comes as abundance and not in order to make kelim. In that respect, when he has a desire for the Creator, he no longer needs the hardening of the heart in order to receive the light of the Torah. Since according to the rule, when a person works for his own sake, a different thought comes to him. That from here too, from this pleasure, called the pleasure of rest, you should not deny yourself. It follows that the pleasure of rest causes him not to have a need for higher degrees. Instead, he is content with less. This is why the Creator had to give the hardening of the heart. Meaning that he sees that he cannot do anything for the Creator. That as long as he has not qualified his kelim to work in order to bestow, he is still in self-love. They give him satisfaction in the little bit of work for the sake of the Creator, with which he was rewarded. Since he feels that he is working for the sake of the Creator, he is satisfied and cannot yearn for higher degrees. It follows that there was no room for the revealing of the letters of the Torah. For this reason, each time he receives some help from above, and then descends from his degree once more, and wants to enter the Kedusha once more, he must receive help once more. It is as it is written about Pharaoh in the plague of the hail, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses, "The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked." Afterward, it is written, "Come unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, that I may set these tokens of mine within him." That order continues until he corrects his kelim that belong to his degree, and then begins the order of the coming of the lights. However, when he has been rewarded with kelim of kedusha and wants only to bestow upon his Maker, he does not say, "Now I am saying that I have already given you a lot, and now I want to rest a little bit because I need to receive for my own sake too." Instead, one who has only the desire to bestow does not need to be given hardening of the heart, as when he is making the vessels of bestowal, since he has no interest in this. One who has been rewarded with a desire to bestow wants only to bestow upon the Creator. It therefore follows that when a person has only the desire to bestow, and he wants to bring contentment to the Creator, he begins to think what the Creator needs that he can give to the Creator, which he does not have. Therefore, he decides that the Creator has no lacks, except that he has created the world with the intention to do good to his creations, for the creatures to receive from him the delight and pleasure. For this reason, he asks the Creator to give him the delight and pleasure, because this can be said that he needs for the lower ones to receive from him the great lights that have been prepared for the creatures. From this we can say that the Creator enjoys. But if the lower ones are unable to receive the light of Torah, called letters of the Torah, it is as though there is a lack above. This is the meaning of what our sages said. When a person regrets, what does the Shekhinah say? Divinity. What does it say? My head is heavy, my arm is heavy. Thus, when is there contentment above? Only when the creatures have delight and pleasure. For this reason, at that time there is no room for hardening of the heart. Rather, the time when hardening of the heart must be given from above is only for the purpose of making the vessels of bestowal, so that one can receive delight and pleasure. which is in order to set these tokens of mine. We should interpret that this refers to letters, for letters are called kelim. That is, in order for a person to have a need called kelim, there needs to be hardening of the heart, as it is written, that I may set these tokens of mine. But once he has the kelim, there is no more a need for the hardening of the heart. Now we can understand what we asked about the connection between Passover matzah and maror, the bitter herb, as Hillel did at the time when the temple stood, and said it was to keep what was said, they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. We asked what this implies in the work of the Creator. According to the above, it follows that the essence of the purpose of the work is to achieve dvikut, adhesion, with the Creator. Because of the disparity of form within us, due to the will to receive that was imprinted in us, the creatures became removed from the Creator. This is mainly what we must correct. However, the question is, how do we correct this? Since equivalence of form is about bestowing and not receiving, and how can we go against nature? Since the body has its own nature, the answer is through the power of Torah and mitzvot, commandments. If the creatures were to receive the force of bestowal easily, they would settle for this, since they would feel that they are already giving, and they would have no need to reveal the letters of the Torah, as was said, that I may set these tokens of mine, for the Creator wants to reveal to them the Torah as the names of the Creator. But from where will they take a need for this? After all, once they have prevailed over the will to receive and want only to bestow upon the Creator, they already have dvikut. What else do they need? Also, it is known that there is no lack without a kli, no filling without a lack. So what did the Creator do? He gave them the hardening of the heart, so that a person will not be able to overcome the evil in him by himself, but will need help from the Creator. As was said, he who comes to purify is aided with a holy soul. Concerning the soul, it is written in the book A Sage's Fruit, Letters of Baal HaSulam, there are five discernments in the soul, and they are called Na'an Chai. In the Na'an Chai, we make two discernments, one, lights, two, kelim. We obtain the kelim of the Na'an Chai by observing the 613 mitzvot of the Torah and the seven mitzvot of our great sages. The lights of Na'an Chai are the essence of the Torah, and the lights clothed in the Torah is Ein Sof, infinity. It follows that the Torah and the soul are one, but the Creator is Ein Sof, who is clothed in the light of the Torah that exists in the above-mentioned 620 mitzvot. This is the meaning of what our sages said. The whole Torah is the names of the Creator. This means that the Creator is the whole, and the 620 names are pieces and parts. These parts are according to the steps and degrees of the soul, which does not receive its light at once, but gradually one at a time. From this we see that the Creator has made it so that man will not be able to overcome the evil by himself, but will need the Creator's help. But there is a state of in-between, meaning that this causes one to taste bitterness in the work because the body does not let him work in order to bestow. This causes him to quarrel with the Creator over why he has created the body that is so bad that he is utterly incapable of exiting the governance of evil called will to receive for himself. When all the kelim that a person needs to complement himself are completed so as to have a kli in which to hold the blessing, he begins to feel the salvation of the Creator, meaning that he feels to, on himself the nearing of the Creator. By this we will understand the connection between matzah, maror, and the Passover offering. Through matzah, the Passover bread, and maror, the bitter herb, he obtains the real need for the letters of the Torah. That is, only through matzah and maror does he need the Creator's help for does the need for the Creator's help form within him, and his help is through the soul, regarded as the Torah and the Creator are one, as was said in the book, A Sage's Fruit. When he has the need, the Creator brings a person closer, and this is called the Passover offering, when the Creator passes over all of his flaws and brings him closer to be rewarded with the purpose of creation.
So, what do you think of the article? No words. Everything is written down. Questions? Well, let's start with Nessie.
Why does it take the hardening of the heart in order to have kelim?
Without the hardening of the heart, you won't need the help of the Creator. I'm trying to answer shortly. More.
Me.
Who? You? Oh. Yeah.
He says that it's slowly, one at a time.
Because you can't give big vessels to somebody at once. He won't be able to overcome. Let's say, today, God forbid, some small trouble is going to fall down on you. Some fine from the municipal office or something. They found something with you. So it's not too bad. You can maybe organize it, even pay it. It's all right. But can you ascribe that to the Creator? And in that way, then a bigger burdening and a bigger, until you'll be able to disconnect from your egoistic desire and ascribe it all to the Creator or to Pharaoh. It doesn't matter. Same thing. Same thing. Through Pharaoh they give you vessels, through the Creator you get lights. That's it. So at once it's impossible. Problems, trouble, that we will have to feel it. I'm saying it out in the open. Gradually they come, because healing every problem, every trouble that comes is by you connecting it to the Creator, you understanding it comes from Him. You have to connect to Him and ask from Him for dvikut, adhesion, above the trouble itself. And then there's no problem with it. It's you ascend above your coarseness, restriction, masach, and start working with the Creator. And that coarseness, that aviyut that was revealed, it remains. Yeah?
So he brings a stick, and what should I bring?
You have to bring a tank. You have to overcome the problem, that it's not the problem that is the matter, but that you are thanking Him. That's through the environment, Arvut. You are giving gratitude for getting that trouble, because only then you can need Him. Otherwise, nope. And in this way, one state after the other. Degree after degree. If there's a group beside you, and either Pharaoh or Creator, no problem. You can constantly run on those degrees.
Ken.
Yeah.
Daniel from Beersheva is asking,
is there a difference between a descent and hardening of the heart?
Descent is something else. It's the burdening of the heart. There's a lot of kinds of them. There's a lot of kinds of establishing the will to receive in a man. There's the sense that you don't understand where they showed up from. You just start feeling that the world becomes darker. It's not shining, no mood, what for, why, tired. And there's trouble that come directed towards me. And I know who, from where, because of something. The Creator knows how to organize it. You'll get trouble soon that he prepared 20 years ago.
20 years is okay. 22 would be more of a problem.
I'm saying seriously, it's all from the general system. But again, just by the connection that you can use whenever the burdening comes. That is to prepare it all in advance.
A student from Israel is asking, can you identify what is the Klipa of Egypt in the group?
What's stopping you from connecting? Yeah.
Question from Elat. Do you have to fall into the will to receive and use it at each new degree, even when you acquire the Tzimtzum and the Masach?
We must fall into the will to receive. We must integrate in that will to receive. Without this, you can't. And then ascend.
Student from Petah Tikva is asking, is Pharaoh the general governance of the will to receive? And in the Exodus from Egypt, are there other forces that control the will to receive? Or is Pharaoh the general force, one opposite the other, throughout the way?
There is no one against the other. The best and easiest is just to see the Creator and the group as an instrument you can connect to Him with, because you don't have the force of bestowal, the fact that you're establishing it in the group. It's the same force that you can connect to the Creator with. That's it. So it's you, group, Creator, and the Creator. Once is this way, one is that way, face and back. You've created me from front and behind.
Another question from Israel. How can we identify a state where we see that the Egyptians are the ones who are enslaving him, in a state where the Egyptians are suffering blows, and this is also felt as heaviness and unpleasant states that the will to receive experiences?
That's what a person feels until he didn't correct himself, so he's confused between the sons of Israel, the Egyptians, Pharaoh. It's all in a very mixed up way inside. But in order to distinguish and sort it out, it's very simple. Who is deciding? Who is the landlord? Who is the source? If a person puts that in front of him, somehow, with the environment as much as he can, he still falls, doesn't know what to do, confused, anxieties, and it can be from the tiniest thing, from a mosquito, I don't know what, doesn't matter. The Creator organizes these things inside. He needs some external reason, but it could be the smallest one. Doesn't matter. Man suddenly goes into this great anxiety. Why? And it's wondrous what happens. But the reason is because that burdening, that addition of egoistic desire is new from a higher degree. And even 1 gram of that new degree, even though you were already in 100 kilos in the previous degree, that 1 gram is from a new quality, and that breaks a person. Yeah. Yes.
What is the state when Pharaoh declares, the Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked? And why does the hardening of the heart begin only from here?
You try and depict that state, please, that you're talking about. That the ego is the bad, and the force of bestowal is the good, and a person determines, and he's in that state, that he agrees with the path, the whole way. And what happens then? Obviously, a fall. Of course. If a person agrees, what?
And before that, there are no hardenings?
There are, but there's stages.
Is it a special point on the way, or what?
It is a special point.
What is that point?
What words can I say? Man determines that the will to receive. It's a few times, it happens every time. It's not once and that's it. But when a person decides that he is under the recognition that in order to bestow is good, it's my goal, I want to be with that, and the rest is flawed. The state isn't unique that it's once, and there's never once. It always repeats itself. That's why until you're not done with the whole complete avaya in a person's soul, it doesn't end. We need to read this article a few times. The main thing, again, let's help. The main is to determine that there's only one force in control. That force needs to show itself towards a person in two forms. Either as the ego, a great ego, or as the light. One of the two. Each time, front and back. And there's no choice. A person needs, on his own behalf, to recognize that it's the same source, that there's none else besides him. And to relate to this source towards the group, because he has no other way to do it through himself, to activate a force of bestowal to the Creator. And you can only come in contact with them through equivalence of form. So it can only be through the environment as much as he can integrate with it. That's why he needs a group and the Elavut to bestow to the Creator. Through this, he can also interpret all of Egypt. So it turns out that Egypt and the work with the Creator is in the group. It's not a person alone with the Creator. No such thing. No connection between man and the Creator. Just through the connection in Arvut. And, well, that's it. The rest is on the path. The rest is a burdening of the heart every time and strengthening. Burdening and strengthening. And whoever advances more, so he has it a few times a day. Whoever advances even more, so he has it a few times an hour. And so on. Right, Itai? You don't want it, but you'll suffer. It's all right. Not too bad.
What does it mean in the ten with the mighty hand? Why do you need the proof of the mighty hand?
The Creator also sets up us up personally and generally. We're not there in a collective, generally way yet. We're not worthy of it yet. We didn't reach connection yet. That's why we are not an entity yet. The ten as one, that against that we'll start feeling the burdening of the heart, called blows, or the plagues of Egypt. But if we'll already start connecting, we will also get the 10 blows, the 10 plagues. And we connect, every time connect and overcome, until we reach that that okay from Pharaoh to let us out. Yes, Yehuda.
It's obvious that there is one force that controls, and it's obvious that it's revealed from the side of Pharaoh, one's from Pharaoh's side, one's from the Creator's side.
And one's from the Creator.
Right. And it's obvious that once a person makes this discernment, he falls, and falls another to rise another degree.
If we did everything correctly, so obviously onward he needs. But all these things have a beginning and an end. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why does Rabash say that dvekut, adhesion, is specifically at the point where you have to ask of the Creator, what's the place of turning to the Creator?
Because there's no choice.
Why is it called Dvikut? Why isn't Dvikut when a person has a discernment?
Why do we reach Dvikut from no choice? Why do we reach from Dvikut to Dvikut from fear, from helplessness, and they sighed and so on?
Why is it like that?
All... We start as the beast. So first, we get all kinds of problems, trouble, just like regular people. We were all as beasts. From that, we run to the Creator to somehow save ourselves from the blows. Then we understand that it's not in order to save ourselves from the blows, but the blows I need to reach society first. That through my connection with the friends, I will know how to turn to the Creator correctly, to strengthen my connection with the friends. And that is actually the purpose of the blows. Those are the purpose of the blows, that with my connection with the friends, I start seeing, revealing degrees, spiritual states between us. That's where we discover the upper world. And then from corporeal blows, we start these stages, just like in Havaya, root 1, 2, 3, 4. We reach blows that are more internal, more spiritual, that the problems are already between us. We see it's not personally towards each and everyone called a beast, but as an Adam, meaning connection with the group. Each one of us is a beast, connected in the 10, and it's already the degree of Adam. Then the blows become spiritual. And those are the ones that Torah is speaking about. That's how we advance. So blows that are higher in quality, obviously they come through haters, everybody in this world, all kinds of cases. And we already start recognizing that the solution is only in the connection between us. Only in the connection between us and with the Creator. That the purpose of the blows are only for that.
Why are these discernments not enough, and you also need to turn to the Creator to help? And specifically from a broken state.
So what connection do you have with him? Do you need him? You need him when you're in helplessness. And the Israelites sighed from the work. What do you need the Creator for?
If a person has a need that he wants only the quality of bestowal...
Who wants it?
A person. Because of all the hardening of the hearts.
What? No.
Why not?
From all the burdenings. I want to run from the burdening.
Okay, fine. So let's say I want to run from the burden, the hardening of the heart. So why does he turn specifically to the Creator to help him? Why is this called Vikut?
It's not called Vikut. Why are you just taking a word that you don't need? Why are you using it? You state your state. You're under some kind of problem. Yes. Now you're searching for a way to come out of it.
Yes.
Okay, good. You're not searching for a Creator in Dvikut. You want to come out of this bad feeling.
Until
these blows teach you that you need to come into the group, and from the group turn to the Creator. Gradually, It's after many times, but you'll learn from all these things that the true solution is only to solve it in the group in Arvut that increases. And in the group, you'll find the connection with the Creator, Mount Sinai, desert, land of Israel, all those states are inside. And also the group will get a new form. It's just not 10 faces in front of you. You'll start feeling a structure, a spiritual system. Yeah.
When we read these essays, they're all discernments within a person, right?
Oh, and man, except for Adam, there's nothing.
What is Pharaoh?
Ego.
So why does the ego become harder, heavier?
So you'll need the Creator.
Specifically, Pharaoh is made harder, not Israel?
What Israel is there? There's no Israel. There's nobody directed to the Creator. A point, one little point.
So who is working in Egypt if Pharaoh is made harder?
You don't feel Egypt by hardening the will to receive. You feel you're in Egypt. And also, what is Egypt? Depends what kind of Egypt. That you feel that you have a connection, and through that, towards a Creator. So they feel themselves in the exile. Otherwise, what kind of Egypt is this? Before we decide that we want to go towards bestowing adhesion towards the Creator, coming out from this world to the next world, the higher world, not that we'll feel good about it, but we want to bestow from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. Before this, we don't even see that we're in exile. What exiles us? Egypt is an ideal state. The best. You have everything. Whatever you want. The Creator, through Pharaoh, is giving you all the best. Everything. You are living like a king. What are you looking at me? That is called the 7 years of fulfillment. Fall from any discernment. You have no problem.
Who connects if there is no Israel? Who connects if there is no Israel? You said there is no Israel, only Pharaoh.
They're not directed to Yashar Kel.
So who connects?
They think that they are, and they're living like this, and they're advancing, and that's their work. Yeah. It's not the work in order to bestow. It's work in the will to receive. That we are connecting and everything's okay and good and everybody has whatever they need and we have a nice connection. Even the love of the created beings and the love of the Creator, everything except for in order to bestow.
So we approach the connection with Pharaoh's inclination?
Yeah, of course. The ego supports it.
Okay, but he doesn't support it.
Ego doesn't support connection? Why not?
It doesn't support connection.
No. No, it's not true. It's not true. You build a kibbutz. You build everything you can build. Just as long as we feel good. If we earn something from this connection, from the egoistic connection, if everybody gains something, why not?
So why does the ego run to connection? Not, why does it not run to connection?
It runs to connection in order to gain something. What's bad about that? What's wrong? If the Creator doesn't ruin it. Don't look at this world here today. Our world is coming close. It's already in the 7 years of hunger. We're already in the 7 years of hunger. Even though we have everything, look what's happening out there. Look at what a mess, helplessness, that's only getting worse.
Are we in the 7 years of famine?
In our world, we're starting it. We're starting to acknowledge that we're in helplessness, that the connection isn't helping at all.
But you said that our group hasn't even gone into Egypt, so I don't understand where we are.
Your group? I don't think. I think you're still hesitating to connect, not to connect. Why? For what? There's work, but it's not. There's nothing to ruin yet. There's no 7 years of fulfillment that you can start ruining them into 7 years of hunger.
So that's my question. If Pharaoh supports connection, why am I not running to connect? Why don't I want connection if Pharaoh supports connection?
Because also for us, the connection has to be according to a decision, according to our mind, according to our feeling, according to actions that we are about to go towards connection. Also, the egoistic connection, we need the help of the Creator in it. Yosef, Joseph, pulls his brothers into Egypt. It's not just a group, it's a state. It's the people of Israel.
So we, even during the years of satiation, also need the Creator's help?
Of course, also Jacob comes down to Egypt.
Well, last question, why is the hardening of the heart creating kelim? Why does the hardening of the heart create new kelim?
The hardening of the heart is an addition of the will to receive. That itself is the beginning of the new vessel. What do we need except for desire?
But what does it add that we didn't have before? What does the hardening of the heart give you that you didn't have before?
A very big desire compared to what you had before, which is an egoistic desire. It confuses me. It takes me out of my direction on one hand. Doesn't give me rest. It gives me fear, anxiety, confusion, and so on. To everyone.
That's clear, this image. But where are the new kelim here? Are they not something that's supposed to
help them? Anxiety, fear that you get now out of being calm, and afterwards, if you're successful, you invert it into anxiety and fear and deficiency for the Creator. That is a new vessel. It's a new deficiency. You can otherwise.
One last thing. Every time we approach Passover, I see that I didn't begin the work. Every year it's like that. It kind of cleans
That's
up everything.
That's great. Yeah, so you're making a Passover cleaning.
What is it about Passover that really rubs us this way, rubs us clean?
Because everybody's thinking about it. Everybody's studying it. It's a special time. And obviously it's a special thing. There is no holiday that is more powerful and closer to us than Passover. What we would celebrate Gmar Tikkun and Purim. Here, it's all these things that in our guts, in our heart, that I need to make these decisions, I have to do, I have to work, I have to scrutinize. Here's the Creator, here's Pharaoh, the group, the 7 years, these 7 years, those 7 years, and so on. It's look when we read it this time. We read it not once. I see according to my signs here that we read it in previous years too, but today you saw it's a completely different reaction that we got from the group. Yes.
To continue on that, we often try to position ourselves. Where are we in the story? As if there's this chronological line that, and we're trying to find, you know, you are here, and we want to get there. But from the scrutinies, we see that we are in many places all the time.
Correct. That's how it has to be. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. Right. And it doesn't matter where we are. It's not important. It's important that I become more sensitive to this story, that it's absorbed in me, that it organizes things in me and changes them and mixes them up, and it doesn't matter that it's not organized. That's good. This time, we are really, and somewhat we will come in contact with Passover. Yes.
So if we want to make the most out of every situation, like in the beginning of the lesson, I want to come out of Egypt. In the middle of the lesson, I'm not in Egypt yet. At the end of the lesson, I'm in Purim. So there's this mess that you have to put some order into it in order to get the utmost.
No, just be more connected in your heart and soul. I'm in this, I want this to work on me. I want this to go through me. That's what I want. Whatever happens, doesn't matter. I'm in a whirlwind. But I'm drawn into it. Yes.
The point in the heart, is this Joseph?
Is it?
Joseph?
Joseph, it's every time, let's say it's Joseph.
So that's my question. Is this the point that goes throughout the process? Is this what awakens?
The point in the heart is a part of the Creator from above, a spark, that through this the Creator is connected to the end of his path. It is what awakens man to search for truth?
Yes. Yeah.
We speak about the point in the heart that it awakens man and brings him to study the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Yeah.
And afterwards, it's also...
Only it. It is the only one that pulls a person all the way through the end. Let's get that.
In the 7 years of fulfillment, Yosef, he fills the warehouse. He prepares himself for the hunger.
What? Satiation?
Yosef, he fills the warehouse with food and everything for the hunger to come.
Right.
What do we fulfill it with?
To receive Egyptians, receive the ego, to accumulate will, to receive and bring it, bring them to be Pharaoh's servants, to buy them.
I want to translate it into the group. We're entering a state where the connection is good, we like it, we feel good. That's the translation for the 7 years of fulfillment.
That connection works in our favor. We still don't feel resistance. Yes?
So what can we collect? We feel good.
Yeah.
The ego is fulfilled. We're fulfilled. We're happy. What are we collecting here? What is there to prepare for that point that we say we have to prepare something for the next stage?
All the desires, all the kelim, everything we have, we want to connect together to the group so the group is as strong as possible. These are the 7 years of satiation. Just like you have many organizations outside that exist by good connection. Well, for us it's... But it's a very similar period. Similar how? We still have work against this as well, because we're still, even in the good way, when we do want to thereby discover the Creator and attain spirituality, we can't. It's still hard, you see? It's hard to be in a 10. Yes.
So what does it mean to prepare ourselves for the 7 years of hunger, or to just be in the 7 years of fulfillment?
You cannot prepare. You don't know what it is. Don't get ready. No one gets ready for it. Everyone gets ready only for good things. In each time, we have to prepare only for good things. Think only of good things and direct ourselves there. And if something works out, it does. It also happens on a level that is still not revealed yet. Because what do you need in the 7 years of famine? you suddenly discover that you need connection with godliness. That only for this, that this is the meaning of the famine in the land of Israel. What's the difference between Israel and Egypt? Only the connection with the Creator. There's nothing else. And this is the hunger. It's not the hunger that they had before, but on top of what they had, they come out of Egypt after 7 years of famine, and what do they remember? How good it was in Egypt with meat pots and onions and garlics and what meat? They had 7 years of hunger, right? Wrong. There was only hunger for Dvikut, for adhesion, for connection with the Creator. This is what is revealed. The will to receive undergoes a process until it discovers in the Havaya, in these four stages, it comes to a state that this is what I need. If only this I need, then we are ready for the exit. What's the exit? What's the fleeing from Egypt, the desert, Israel? These are states. So we come to a state that that's it. They have the preparation for connection with the Creator, which is called Mount Sinai. Now, connect in Avut now, which they couldn't do in Egypt, but they wanted to. Now they are discovering the ability, and let's go. These stages are very close to one another, and we can feel them and go through them soon. The more we try to jump out of Egypt, you will see that everything happens very quickly. It's like it took you billions of years to develop the universe and then planet Earth and whatnot. Can you compare it to the last 20 or 30 years, to 1,000 years before? That's how it is. In spirituality, it's even more so.
No.
Yes.
Question from Seth from New York. Are all of our developing desires from previous degrees called Pharaoh, or only those that are against the spiritual connection?
Everything that awakens in us is for our connection with the Creator. There is nothing else. You increase in holiness and don't decrease in holiness. In the absolute value, minus or plus, it doesn't matter. It always adds. It always adds to you a desire. And you just have to shift it through Dvikut to the Creator and through it to the Creator. And that's it. That's how simple it is. That's it. But what's missing? The support from the environment as a cause of you not forgetting about it, because every time a desire is added, you become detached from the course, and then the group can add to you. You return to the course, and when you return to course, when you get back on track, you return to the group, and then you get hardening again, and then you need the group. And then you transfer what you receive to the group. So the group is like a reservoir of your kli, where you finally achieve what can be revealed to you.
I think my question was, what is Pharaoh? All of our previous degrees are called Pharaoh, or only those against the spiritual connection? Talking about something called Pharaoh.
Pharaoh is that force which turns its face back. We learned it? Yes? Like a deer that runs and turns its face back. So this is Pharaoh, the posterior of the Creator. This is Pharaoh. What does the Creator promise Abraham? I will give you a big will to receive, such that you will receive all the upper light, you'll be able to receive it. How? I will do it. So, he increases the egoistic will to receive and cultivates it. This side of the Creator is called Pharaoh. Yes?
Question from Baku. First, the years of fulfillment come and then the hunger, or it shows up in a different order every time?
No, that's how it works. First, the 7 years of satiation. They only increase the will to receive, and everything's okay, and everything's beautiful, until they begin to discover that it's not that good. Suddenly, they discover Python and Ramses, the plague, something doesn't work out. Where does this come from? Oh, so we have to work in order to bestow. We can't do this. And then begin the 7 years of hunger. And then you see that we had 10,000 people, 1,000 remained. That's how it works. Until when we come out of Egypt and receive the Torah, another half will come off.
So a question from Oded from Brooklyn. Do we come out of Egypt as a tens, or is it still a collection of individuals?
How should I put it? Tens, it's not exactly how we describe it in a corporeal sense. The groups acquire an internal depiction. They are in the heart of a person, of each one. Yes.
From Astana, are the 7 years of satiation and hunger, it's a law of development of society or an individual person?
It is a law by which a group that is called Yashar Kel develops. It's not related to the development of the world. The world develops as the body of the soul and not as the rosh, the head of the soul. So those who develop only as the rosh, who are directed straight to the Creator, in them happens the process that the Torah speaks of. The others don't. They have no connection to it. They also don't feel a need for it. They don't understand it. You know what's been said about us. You can hear it. That's how it works.
Oded Spiegler is asking, is the Exodus the spiritual conception?
The Exodus from Egypt, you can call it Ibur, conception or birth. We can't distinguish it yet.
So he's asking if Pharaoh brings us to Arvut or to the mutual cry out.
Pharaoh pushes it to Arvut. He arranges everything, organizes everything for us. We have to respect and appreciate him. He works like a faithful angel of the Creator. Yes, like a loyal angel. There is no other governance here other than the Creator's. And when he works in a manner of hardening of the heart, hardening of the ego, like I've created the evil inclination, then we call it Pharaoh.
Yes. This Passover, the more we're advancing, you're saying that the more we understand what spirituality is, what to bestow is, so the less people will remain. How can we set it up with the fact that when you speak about the state of the world, so you're saying that the people of Israel are already lagging behind in spiritual discernments, and that's why the world is like this. But we see about ourselves as much as it gets compressed before entering spirituality. Where will this connect, these two tendencies?
First of all, I don't know. That's the first answer. Second, I don't care. It's not my work. I see before me a very narrow goal. Although we care about the whole world from the beginning of reality and all that, But what seems to me is that we don't appreciate, I'm just saying according to your question, we don't appreciate the spiritual power. 1 ounce of upper light can bend and rearrange this whole universe, much less planet Earth with all the insects crawling on it. It's nothing, because it's nothing but a desire to enjoy. So when the power of filling comes, so it's not even a problem. I don't look at it from the perspective of an individual person living and doing all of his business in order to satisfy his tiny, petite ego. We are in our work in order to be connectors, leaders, the pipeline from above, from the upper light, to all the people in this world. So the more we advertise the wisdom of Kabbalah in the masses, in the general public, we somehow bring them closer. Of course, it's not to be Kabbalists, but to be connected to us and be able to somehow connect and receive. And we are the pipeline. Yes. But the pipeline should be just a pipeline. You don't need many people for this. Millions should come, and I hope a 10 comes out.
Okay, cool. I just hear that you're saying more and more that the more the process is moving ahead and getting compressed, on the other hand, the world has to be increasing.
The world, yes, because it's what, you are the few among the nations. You are the least among the nations. I really hope that we will expand. But to answer your question, to complete the correction of the world, a tiny hose, a tiny pipeline, a tiny line is enough. Yes. Okay. You.
So why aren't you enough here? You're a thin pipeline. Why do we need us?
To whom will I give it?
The world.
But the world isn't ready. You need to prepare them as well. What does Baal HaSulam say about the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah to everyone and even to the nations of the world?
I can't understand the difference between the work you're doing.
There has to be kind of an adaptation, just like we are adapting. We adapt ourselves. First of all, I don't think I myself am a pipeline. Just like we have to be adapted to the Creator on one hand, and on the other hand, we have to be like a pipeline. Its other end should be adapted to the world. In the world, you also have, like Baal HaSulam explains, you have all kinds of levels. So you need to be connected to a certain level of the world, and that they need to understand you somehow, merge with you, want to submit themselves, and so on.
Because according to what you said, there's like a point that behind it, the next step isn't in spirituality anymore, but just to receive from somebody in spirituality, from that pipeline, receive the light,
yes.
And he doesn't need to be in it.
No, it's enough for them to discover that they are, that they want to be saved from the blows, and that they are connected to you. They don't have a choice, and they believe that you can bring them salvation.
So who determined that this is the generation that we have to do it?
I didn't determine it. What did you hear? I determined it. Baal HaSulam wrote, Rabash wrote, that we are probably the generation of the Messiah. We are the last generation, and that we have to do it. So I try, as much as I understand it.
So we are going on a path that we're doing because our teachers told us to do it?
Yes, of course.
And we have no idea. It could be that on the next step, somebody should maybe open schools and create another generation of Kabbalists. That can also be?
Anything can happen. I'm not asking about this. I'm asking, what do I need to do now?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to understand. That's the matter. Does it matter what's going to happen on the next step? We are working right now. Does it matter on the next?
What I dream is one thing. And what I do in practice is what I can do today according to how I understand the Kabbalists.
Another question about our number decreasing. Let's say somebody from Israel was here for years and something happened and he's gone.
The heart niggles, the heart makes you leave.
Does he have choice by not becoming Israel?
He does. He does. He is not thrown out. No one is thrown out. No one. He's got a choice, and he decided that he doesn't want it. He can't. That's it. I'm better off without it. Corporeal life, I continue it this way. He also develops his own ideas against us, that we are wrong, that we're not doing things correctly. Well, you know, that's how it usually works.
So there could be a person that got an opportunity to be part of the pipeline, part of the process, and he decides, from some kind of reason, no matter what, that he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And he really won't be there.
What do you mean, won't be there?
That not the next incarnation will come back or whatever. He was supposed to be, and now he won't.
Why are you so clever? The next life, this, that.
I'm trying to understand.
You won't be able to understand with your tiny brain. Look at your head. What are you talking about? Be a little more serious. Next life. You know what the next life is? All right, guys. Even about this, you're talking like it's in corporate reality. We still need to grasp many things along the way. And the view of landlords is opposite from the view of Torah. I shouldn't say more. It's a big confusion that you're talking about spirituality and corporeality, about corporeality like everyone else outside, and about spirituality a little bit like we do, like Kabbalists, and that creates a big mess. Well, it's on the way. What can you do? What are we doing next?
Huh? אתם רוצים תאס?
You want to learn תאס? תלמוד הסוסיות? Who's in favor of תלמוד הסוסיות?
ממש ככה?
Really?
Huh? לא שומע. מאין ברירה.
צריך מאור.
You don't have choice.
We need the light. There's nothing else to do.
בוא עד חמש נלמד תאס.
Right. Let's learn.